Well, good evening, saints. The song, When God Seems So Near, have you ever experienced that? That you could just reach out and touch Him?
Love Him.
Well, this is what should take place as we grow into maturity, that He becomes nearer, and as He becomes nearer, we become nearer, and as we get nearer, and as He gets nearer, guess what, Randy? We're going to wake up and see Him face to face one morning. And now what it's all about. Our time is going faster and faster and faster. And it could be tonight yet. It could be tonight.
Come on, Lord Jesus.
That's right. It could be tonight and we'll see Him face to face.
Yes.
All right, we had been talking about the purpose of Christian maturity. And we had looked at the power for maturity as the completeness of personality, where our emotions and our mind and will is filled with Christ. And that is when the whole heart is in gear for Christ. And this is something that's so hard to find today, that believers are in full gear for Christ. It's so sad when believers treat this life and lifestyle as just a mere religion or something I need to do, or I'm going to appease God by going to church and then I'll be all right until next week and then I need to go. When this is not it at all. Not it at all. And this is all about a whole relationship, face to face with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we can see this personal aspect of maturity is when we begin to examine Paul's letter to the saints in Philippi. And this letter was written by probably the most mature Christian who ever lived. And this man, Paul, demonstrated constantly a unique ability to handle every situation, whether in suffering or in satisfaction. Paul was always on the move. Always on the move. And he was always going, even when he was locked in a prison cell. And we're going to turn to Philippians tonight and remember that this letter was written when Paul was sitting in jail. And he was still pressing on and he was still reaching forth. Can you imagine? Now, I can't imagine what prison was like in the days of Paul. I can see it today. Okay? As ugly as jail may be, and as ugly as you may think it is, it's still an air-conditioned room, heated in the winter, got light, got a bed, got a potty. And I imagine they'll give you all the paper and pencils you want. I have a feeling that was not like it was in Paul's day. As today, if you're in prison, and I haven't been there, so if you have and you want to correct me, please do. But if you get sick, they're going to rush you down to the doctor or the hospital. If you need any dental work, well, you forget your MasterCard. You don't even need that, or your care credit or anything. You're going to get that done for free. And the jailers can't beat you. Then they'll be in jail with you. But I don't think it was like that in Paul's day. You think you hurt. I just imagine what Paul's hurting. Paul's in a probably very dim lit cell. Probably his closest companion was the pet rat that went from room to room. Hurting. And Paul had experienced quite a bit of difficulty and times before he was in his jail. I don't know what he used to write on. No idea. Don't know what he used. But yet, and turn to the third chapter of Philippians, and this is, I'm only going to give you a couple, well, we're going to, this is going to be kind of long, about 9 verses long, then we're going to use one other tonight. And I want you to kind of get the picture here, Paul sitting in prison, beat up, hurting, no doctors. Probably the most of us would be so down. But Paul wrote one of the greatest books in all the New Testaments in Philippians. And what we want to see tonight in the third chapter is Paul's personal testimony. What Paul's desires was. And he never said once about, Lord, get me out of this place. I imagine that would be foremost on your minds. Probably wouldn't mind. Lord, just get me out of here, please. I want to go home. But Paul, during this time, Paul is going to give his personal testimony. What he desires and what he wants in his relationship to Christ. Now, as we read some verses here, keep this in mind. Paul's personal relationship with Christ is to be our personal relationship to Christ. What Paul wanted, this is what we should be wanting. And we can see in Paul's testimony here, not just his relationship, but his maturity in all of this. No complaints. But he gives some of the deepest words in all of the New Testament about what our mature relationship should be with the risen Christ. Third chapter of Philippians. And I'm going to start reading in verse 7 and we're going to go to verse 15. And I'm reading from the Amplified tonight. And this is, I particularly like these verses of scriptures in the Amplified because it doesn't change anything. Once again, it just amplifies it. Makes it become more real and understandable. And Paul began, I'm going to start beginning in verse 7. But he says, whatever former things were gains to me as I thought them, these things, once regarded as advancements in merit, I have come to consider a loss, absolutely worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose which He has given my life. The things that Paul gained, the things that he had, the things that you and I have gained in our life, the things that we love, for the cause of Christ are absolutely useless. It's harder to understand when we're younger, but do you begin to see this as you get older? How many times, and we're doing the same thing. How many times have you heard folks when they, as they get older, well, we're cleaning out, we're downsizing. Guess what? We're discovering, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. That's why for the last month and probably for the next month, we'll still be doing our big garage sale. We're getting rid of, moving it on to somebody else that's younger so when they get older, they can get rid of it. That's what it amounts to. But Paul said these things is absolutely useless for the sake of Christ. But in verse 8, he says, but more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless. No, listen to the words here. This is what I love about the Amplified here. The priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus. Look at these words, folks. Look at what Paul, where and what Paul's priorities was. The privilege, priceless privilege, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with Him. A joy unequaled. For His sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it garbage, so that I may gain Christ. I don't know if I could add to that. Here, Paul, sitting in prison. Look at his priorities. Look where his mind was at and his attitude was at as he sat in prison. The priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ. He didn't say knowing about Christ or one day I'll know Him. Mm-mm. Knowing the person, having a personal relationship with Christ. He goes on in verse 9, and may be found in Him, believing and relying on Him. Isn't it one thing to believe in Christ, and is it another not to rely on Him? Two different things. But Paul says, and relying on Him, not having any righteousness of my own derived from my obedience to the law and its rituals, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ and righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul's saying, it's not my righteousness. This is Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness that I'm going to gain. He said it wasn't from the law or any of its rituals. It wasn't because I went to church every time the door was open. It wasn't that I read the whole Bible 40 times in my life. He gained God's righteousness from what? From knowing Christ. Then he goes on in verse 10. And this, listen close to this, folks, and this so that I may know Him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with Him. Have you ever been acquainted with Christ? Do you know Him as Paul's desire was? Understanding the remarkable wonders of His person, who completely and in that same way experienced the power of His resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, that's you and I. Power of His resurrection. Overflowing into our life and the lives of the believers, which overflows and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of His sufferings by being, listen to this, Paul is wanting to share the suffering, and I'm sure he is, sitting in this prison. He wants to share the suffering and by being continually conformed inwardly into His likeness, even to His death, dying as He did. Wow. Wow. No complaints from Paul, was there? No complaints about a dirty prison cell. Paul's writing this letter, and I'm sure he's even writing one to the ACLU. Paul wanting to know Christ, even His suffering. He said even if He needed to be put on a cross and crucified like Him. In verse 11, he says, so that I may attain to the resurrection that will raise me from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now verse 15, look at this. To all of us who are mature, not babies, but all of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection. Are we continually pursuing spiritual perfection in Him? Should have this attitude. Now some of the, I think the King James says have this mind. For your attitudes, that it's in your mind. Have this mind or have this attitude. And if any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make clear to you. Have this same attitude in mind. Folks, these nine verses that Paul wrote are especially personal. 13 times he used the pronoun I. I. Paul is telling us here what his desires are towards the Lord Jesus, what his attitude and what he wanted. That's what Paul wanted. Never once did he say, get me out of here, this place, God. He was content. That's what maturity is. Verses 10 and 11 and 12 is a tremendous truth. But verse 15, let us have the same mind, or let us have this attitude. We are to be involved in the same attitudes and the aspirations that Paul had. Maybe not so easy. Paul's purpose must be our purpose if we want to go on to maturity. Do we want to go on? I think the price is high. Paul's burning desire was, one, to know the person, two, to know the power, and three, to know the purpose. That's what Paul wanted. Let's look at knowing the person of Christ. Paul's first longing in verse 10 was to know Him. Not a religion, not an ethic, not a program, but a whom? A person. What Paul wanted to know is the person. So many times it's hard for us to understand. Not only is our faith in a person, but He's real. He is a person. Because you and I, we're so used to people, we could just reach out and touch them. They're there. You can see them. And Paul had this burning desire to know this person. I think he could actually almost just see him. Because his desire was so strong to know the person of Christ. You know, we as Christians and especially Christian workers, and this is what happens so many times as pastor, that many times it's possible that we get taken up in the work of Christ, that but we discover so little of the person of Christ. And this is one of the reasons that why burnout is so prevalent, especially among pastors. To get burnt out. We got to do. No, you don't. The Bible never tells you. Jesus never told you got to do. Now that may sound contradicting, but what I read in here, He said, I'll do it through you. You go out and let me do it through you. But I got to do this program. I got to do this outreach. I got to do. And they forget about this relationship with Christ. And this is sometimes, and I understand this is hard for people not to pursue and want to do, is to sit down and rest in Him and allow Him to do it. And this, actually, folks, many times, this is one of the lies of Satan. Look how many, and I don't know the numbers, but how many missionaries over the years that we've lost that weren't called by God to go to the mission field. They went to a mission conference or listened to some evangelist or some preacher and got an emotional relationship with Christ and felt they were called to go out and change the whole country of Africa or the continent of Africa. They're going to be the greatest evangelist, missionary in the world. They go there, fall flat on their face and fail. They were never called. One of the best messages I had ever listened to in my life by Ian Thomas was Sent, Went, and Put. And he laid it all out. You better be sent with by God. And when you're sent, you went. And you're put. And that was his emphasis. Put. God put me here. You didn't put yourself here. He put you here. If you don't, your whole ministry is going to fall to pieces. But here again, and we're all prone to this, where we fall prey to our emotions. And God can work through our emotions, but so can Satan. We become so emotionally involved with Christ that we forget to know Him. And to know Him, to know anyone, you must live with them. There must be a wonderful, there must be that wonderful relationship between my soul and my Savior. You see, nobody knows you like the person that lives with you. Man, nobody knows you like your wife knows you. You may fool everybody else, but you ain't gonna fool her. I learned that years ago. I don't even try no more. And women, it's the same way. Nobody knows you like the person that you live with. And the fact of knowing Him is something that one must pursue if we're going to, like Paul, if we're going to get involved with Christ. We must have that personal relationship. We must get to the point to where we know Him. And we get this by spending time with Him. Spending time in prayer. Spending time in worship and adoration. Here again, you couples, you going to get to know your husband if you only spend an hour a week with him? Mm-mm. Are we going to get to know Christ by spending an hour a week with him? Well, how about just Christmas and Easter? Is that okay? Of course not. But some people think that, I'm a believer. I can just spend an hour on Sunday morning with Christ and that's all I got to do and I'm okay for the rest of the week. Well, you're not going to build any kind of relationship in the flesh with your husband or wife if you just spend an hour a week with them. Come on now. Our method of spending time may differ according to our abilities and our opportunities, but it's still a necessity. It's very essential in our Christian life. And we always need to remember that worship and adoration are not the same as asking, is not the same as asking for favors and petitions. Too many times, Christ becomes just a 911 call. You know, I got my butt in trouble, so I better call him. Or better yet, I think I'll go listen to Dan this Sunday morning. I'm in trouble. Uh-oh. You bad girl. We just can't build that kind of a relationship. We must have a time with him and many times that love from Christ, and Dan preached a lot about love this morning. Many times that love from Christ comes from silence on our part. I know yesterday, today, I said, I just want to sit down here, keep my big mouth shut, and just let Him talk to me. We need to do this. It's a two-way conversation. Paul's desire was to perceive and recognize and understand the wonders of the person of Christ. Remember that the one that whom Paul met on the road to Damascus was the risen Christ in all His power and glory. I can't begin to think of what that done to the person of Paul, because it sure changed him. But in that, and we're told in Matthew in the 28th chapter that God had promised to be present with us all the time. Be present with us all the time. Paul didn't just let it be at that, like many of us do. Oh yeah, God's present, God's with us all the time. But Paul sought to prove His presence. Just knowing the presence is not good enough for me, Lord. I want to know. I want to prove it. And certainly Paul did. Let's take a couple minutes and look at knowing the power of Christ. There was a purpose in Paul's desire to know the person of Christ. A purpose in Paul's life was a desire to know the person of Christ. And as he proved His presence, so he would experience Christ's power. And that's what he wanted, was Christ's power. He was alive. Paul, in the 10th verse, this is right in front of you, said, I want to know Him. I'm not just content knowing Him. Now I want to experience His power. And the more Paul knew the person of Christ, the more he would experience the power of Christ. One of the greatest needs in our church today is that those who have been redeemed and born again by the blood of Christ, is that we should go on to experience in the presence of the risen Christ, so that He can demonstrate the power of the indwelling Christ. It's what we lack in so many of the lives of believers today. And this was a burning desire. And this power of the indwelling Christ was the power outflowing from His resurrection. And that same power is just as available to you and I as it was for Paul. Verse 11 is kind of a funny sounding verse in some ways, but it's not pointing to the experiences of a coming day. But he's pointing to the outward working of the day by day, the fact of being born again. Now, Paul reminded us that in the second chapter in Ephesians, that we have been made alive. Now, in this verse 11, or some translation, it speaks not just as a spiritual resurrection, not just that we experience these things spiritually, but we're to experience them in our mortal lives. And in our moral lives, we experience the resurrection, the power of the resurrection of Christ. Now, we have all experienced a spiritual resurrection when we've been born again. It's there. That power is there. It's all for us to experience, but it is so vital now that the power of the risen Christ, it brought us about to spiritual life, should be released in our lives and become operative in our moral life. We live it. It becomes alive in action in our life. It becomes a reality in our life that we experience the reality of the resurrected Christ. Not just spiritually, but in our lives. Have you experienced this in your life? Have your life changed over the years? Should be changing even day by day. And it was for this that Paul yearned and pressed forward. He gives us some words in 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, verses 10, 11, and 12. He says, always carrying around in the body of the dying of Jesus, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown in our bodies, in the flesh. The resurrection of Christ, the power of His resurrection, should be shown in our physical life. It says, for we who live are constantly experiencing the treat of being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the resurrection of the life of Jesus also may be evident in our mortal body, which is subject to death. So physical death is actively at work in us, but spiritual life is actively at work in you. This was the aspiration of Paul. Jesus will be manifested in our mortal flesh when the power of the risen Christ is manifested in our mortal life. Resurrection of Christ comes out in our lives, the life that we live every day. And this can only become true when we know Him. Only become true and increasing when we know His power at the work in our flesh. The moral resurrection will be seen in the growth of the Christian maturity as His presence and power controls the complete personality, when it controls our minds, our emotions, and our will. We begin to grow with Him. Paul wanted to know the purpose of Christ. The third thing that Paul wanted to know in verse 12 was, when Christ saved Paul, He had a purpose. He had a plan in His mind for Paul's life. Now, Paul was seeking to know what that plan and what that purpose was. Knowing the person of Christ leads to experiencing His power. Yielding my entire life to that power sets on a motion for the purposes of Christ in my life. Paul always seen himself in a relation to the purpose of God. And this should encourage us to know the purpose and the power and the purpose and the person of their indwelling our hearts and our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to go on. Remember that going on with Christ is not necessarily finding success and going up, especially going up in this world. This world, so many of us get it wrong. With Paul, the experience of going up with Christ in reality was going down. You see, folks, the reality of going down is always with Christ. One of the hardest things for us to accept and understand as we grow into maturity, and as we begin to know the person of Christ, and as we begin to suffer with Him, as we begin a relationship with Him, we want to be made strong in Him. But one of the things is the hardest thing to understand, to be made strong in Christ, we first must be made weak. In our human flesh, this is hard for us to understand. It's hard, maybe hard to accept. But in our relationship with Christ, before we can be made strong, we must be made weak. We must take our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes on Him, in Him only. And this is what Paul was doing. This is Paul's desire. This was the point in verse 15 when he said that as many of us, or in other words, if you want to become mature in Christ, you must have this mind. If you don't, you never will grow. You never will become the person that God intends for you to be. You will never grow in a relationship. See, Paul's desires must be our desires. His experience with Christ must be our experience. And in this, we too should be able to say, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him. I may know Him. I may know the person, the power, and the purpose for my life in Christ. Then our Christian maturity should become one of the most cherished experiences this side of all eternity. Doesn't sound like a religion to me. Paul's desire is, I want to know Him. Not about Him. I want to know Him. And I want to experience that power from His resurrection. And I want you to experience that power from His resurrection, is what Paul's telling us. That the person, the risen Christ, would be manifested in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for what You've done. We thank You, Lord, for what You've given us. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that has revealed these things to us. So many things that may be hard to swallow, but so many things that make sense to how we can, too, become to know the person of Christ. And how we as a church can come to know the person of Jesus Christ even deeper. As we come and lift You up and give You glory, we come and give You worship. Father, we just thank You for all these things. We thank You for Your word that You've given us. And Lord, once again, we just thank You for Your Holy Spirit that gives us that illumination in our minds and that understanding. Father, may all of our hearts and our minds, our desires, is to be to know Him. In Christ's name, amen.